on Sundays, the abounding in hope in 2021. Romans 15:13 tells us, explains to us how we're to, as God's people, we need to be abounding in hope, and that assurance of the future, that future assurance that we have as God's people, that causes us to know that not only we've got an eternity with the Lord, but also that from a day-to-day standpoint, that the Lord is good to us, and He's made us promises that He's working everything out for our good, and many such promises from God's Word that we are to take hold of, and we need to take hold of, and we need to rest in the future and rest in what the Lord has for us. And obviously, 2020 was a very difficult year. 2021 has been, to a certain extent, a difficult year as well. But at the same time, we can rest in hope. We can be a people of assurance, a people of that quiet peace as the Lord's people, a people of quiet peace that we can be those who are calm in our demeanor because of our assurance concerning the Lord and His working in our lives and His working in all things. Well, Psalm 119 and verse 43, the scripture says, "And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in thy judgments." I have hoped in thy judgments, so don't take the word of truth utterly out of my mouth. I want to think about that a little bit today, and as well as we think about this particular specific scripture, also looking at some other scriptures. The Psalms are full of messages of hope, but also right here in the 119th Psalm, what's the subject of the 119th Psalm? Well, it is the Holy Scriptures. I mean, every verse but five of Psalm 119 has a specific reference to the Holy Scriptures in it. So each one you go through the 119th Psalm, and you find over and over and over again, clearly the message or the subject, if you will, the subject matter of the 119th Psalm is the Holy Scriptures. So we want to deal with the subject today. We've been dealing with hope. We want to deal with hoping in the Holy Scriptures. Hoping in the Holy Scriptures. Clearly, our hope is in the Lord. And it's repeatedly stated in the Psalm that we hope in the Lord. We're to be those who, the Lord is our hope. He is our hope. And so we see it over and over again. He is our ultimate hope. I mean, there's promises that He has made that we rest in, but He is our ultimate hope. There are a lot of things that we can be assured of as God's people and acting upon God's will and His plan for our lives. But ultimately, when it really comes down to it, God is our hope. And that relationship that we have with God is that assurance, is that peace. Having Him there, having Him with us, having Him beside us, having Him with, even though sometimes we don't feel like He is beside us, yet we read from the Holy Scriptures His promises that He is. And so we've got hope that comes from the Holy Scriptures that is sometimes aside from the way we feel. The way we feel sometimes is deceptive. The way we feel sometimes says God's lost control of everything. The way we feel sometimes causes us to think that nothing's going to go right any longer, that everything's going wrong. And yet God is still in control, and so we need the grounding of the Holy Scriptures to assure us of that. How do we accurately understand Him? And more specifically, what about Him gives us cause to hope in Him? And I would say in Psalm 119, the psalmist seems to be saying here that making God our hope moves us to His Word. It causes us to cling to the Word of God, to what He says. You know, what He is and what He does are so important to us in our lives. But to understand what he says to us, what he's telling us is vital. And what he tells us about himself, what he tells us about his promises, what he tells us about us and our relationship with him, what he tells us is found in his word. And so the word of God is important. It's 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19 to 21, and 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 15 to 17. The Holy Scriptures are given in those verses of Scripture. 2 Peter 1, 19 to 21, and 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15 to 17. You remember those Scriptures that talk about the fact that the Holy Scriptures and how that they're given by inspiration of God, that holy men of old moved as spoke as God moved upon them by the Holy Ghost and worked and gave them the Holy Scriptures, and that it is a complete and God inspired book. It is a book that we have today that is inspired of the Holy Ghost, and that we're given it, and we give it its rightful place in our life as believers, and as we do so, we have an accurate source for truth. And truth is the key word here. When you look at verse 43, he says there, and take not the word of truth. The Scriptures are described in a lot of different ways. The word of God, the Holy Scriptures, the Word, and all through Psalm 119, you find the statutes, you find all the judgments, the testimonies of the Lord, all these different descriptions of the Word of God, what the Word of God is to us. But verse 43 centers upon that it is the truth. It's the Word of truth. What's the source of truth for us? And we... truth about God, whatever we know about God, is found in the Word of God. The things that we are assured of that give us peace in our life, and then that relationship, that peaceful, that wonderful relationship we have with the Lord in bestowing and giving to us peace through Christ with God that we couldn't have otherwise other than through the redemptive work of Jesus Christ on the cross for our sins and through the wonderful loving care of the Holy Spirit and how he has brought the Word of God to bear in our hearts and given to us the gospel and opened our eyes to the truth of our relationship with God through Christ. All these things they're wonderful, but they do come to us through the Word of God. And so we find that as believers, we need to be, Psalm 119, again, seems to be saying, make God your hope and through the Holy Scriptures, and look into the Word of God as the source for truth. That are behind, and I will say this, that a lot that are behind a lot of the newer translations of the Scriptures today don't believe that we have have the Holy Scriptures absolutely, and don't believe that there's a true matter of providential preservation of His Word. They don't believe in the preservation of the Word. They believe that somehow we're in the process of getting to the Word, coming to it over time. And so they translate their Bibles from a different underlying original text than what our Bible is translated from. And so we hold to the text, which has unified support through the centuries. It's the Masoretic Hebrew text and the Hebrew of the Greek Textus Receptus, and that's what the KJV and its translation is from. And I want the word of truth in my mouth, as the Scripture is talking about here. The psalmist is saying, keep the word of truth in my mouth. I want that to be what I'm chewing on, what I'm feeding upon. And in the mouths of all of God's people, we want the Word of God, the true Word of God, to be in our mouths. Now let's look at the verses here in Psalm 119 that deal with this subject of hope, because it's over and over mentioned right here in Psalm 119. In Psalm 119, verse 49. We'll come back to verse 43 in a few moments, but look at verse 49. It says, remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. The psalmist says, remember that word, the promise, the specific promise of great weight that you caused to enlighten me concerning, that has caused me, as he says here, to hope. It's caused me, verse 49, to have peace and assurance of the future. Remember the word unto thy servant, which thou hast caused me upon which thou hast caused me to hope. I hope upon your word, and I hope in you because of the great promise that you've given. The specific promises of great weight. You know, the gospel is a promise. The gospel's good news, but it's the good news of a promise of eternal life, of everlasting life, of a promise of being right with God, of a promise that God's word has given us that we're eternally secure. The promise of eternal life is the greatest promise that there is. There's no greater promise than the promise of God's grace upon his people, upon a sinner, to deliver them from their sin, to forgive them of all their sin, and give them a right relationship with God, and give them a home with the Lord forever. That's a great promise. Well, the psalmist would remember, he would say, remember the word. And he's not as though the Lord's going to forget it, but remember it in the sense that he's remembering and he's recalling it. Remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. You've caused me to hope. You have given me something that's caused me to have hope in you, at God. And as his people, there's great promises that have caused us to hope in the Lord. In verse 74, he says, verse 74 of this chapter, the psalmist says, they that fear thee will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in thy word. Is there anything better than to have a relationship with people who are just filled and abundantly filled with hope? And a relationship with others of the Lord's people, whenever you're a child of God and you may be going through difficult times and trying times and such. And the psalmist is saying, in this verse he says, they that fear thee, the Lord's people, will be glad when they see me because I have hoped in thy word. An observable attitude of hope. Something that people can see in us. Something that people can, they can look at you and they can see in your life a different kind of an attitude as it pertains to what's going on around you. When things are falling in around us, where are we as God's people? Do we cave in? Do we give in? Do we get all discouraged? Do we get all up in arms because things are not going the way we think they ought to go? Or do we as God's people have a peaceful assurance that the Lord is still in control, that he's still working things out in our lives, and that we do not have to be all flabbergasted, we don't have to be all up in arms all the time as God's people, but rather we can have a peaceful assurance that the Lord is doing things, and we've got this observable attitude of hope that the word that the psalmist is talking about here. In verse 81, another verse that mentions the hope of the believer, my soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I have hope in thy word. At the weakest times in our lives, those times when we need the Lord's help, those times where he's maybe put us through a test of some sort, and that trial is not an easy one, and we are going through a difficult trial in our life, where that whatever it might be, we've lost something, we've lost someone, we're in a position where that we just feel like we're almost without hope. And the psalmist over and over again speaks of those kinds of times that he personally experienced. And we know they're real. We know those things are realities in the life of not only of believers, but of everyone. that we all experience times where we feel like that everything's falling apart. And we just need, Lord, save me. It's that kind of a need we feel that's like we're just falling apart. Lord, deliver us, save us from this. And the psalmist says here in that 81st verse, my soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I have hope in thy word. The word of God is that thread, that last little bit that we can hang on to. It's that lifesaver, so to speak. It's that one thing, that rope that's thrown down that maybe we can cling to as God's people. But it is that gives us hope. It gives us the peace. It gives us the assurance that we need. And so the psalmist says, hey, I've learned to, hope in the word of God in the weakest times. At verse 114, the scripture says, thou art my hiding place and my shield. I was very close to using this passage of scripture as the text today, verse 114, but I decided to just use the first one, and I thought it stands to reason somewhat, maybe you'll see. But thou art my hiding place and my shield. Who is the Lord to us? Who is he? Well, we've got an assured protection from anything, from all our enemies, from anything. The love of God that passes all understanding that we have as God's people is a love that won't let us go. There's nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. There's no tribulation. There's no anything, Romans 8, there's no anything that can separate us from his unfailing love. And how do we know about that? Well, we know about it through the word. Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. Thy word. Now, he's not saying he's hoping in something in the sense of just hoping in an object as though it were. And if that were the case, it'd be like idolatry. But hoping in the word of the Lord speaking to us. And our hope then is in him because this is, in fact, the word of truth. This is the word of God. So we have this assured protection as God's people. We got him as he says here, as that wonderful hiding place and shield that we stand in need of. And in verse 116 says, uphold me according unto thy word. And he says, that I may live, and let me not be ashamed of my hope. I've got this hope in you, Lord. I have this hope, this assurance of the future, and I'm living this way. Lord, don't, according to your word. It's an according to your word kind of hope. My assurance is according to your word. My assurance is based upon what the word of God says. And so we need that kind of according to the Lord's word kind of hope. In 147, in Psalm 147, the scripture says, I prevented the dawning of the morning. In other words, he is so completely distraught. I've prevented the dawning of the morning and cried. So I've been up all night and weary. And bottom line, I hoped in thy word. I prevented the dawning of the morning and cried, I hoped in thy word. This bottom line kind of hope that as God's people that we need, when everything's falling apart, get to the word. We need the word of God. We need the Holy Scriptures. We need the word of truth, as Psalm 119:43 says. And then 166 is the last verse that specifically mentions hope here in Psalm 119. 166, Lord, I have hoped for thy salvation and done thy commandments. You know, hoping in the Lord, it's kind of like what Jesus said, that his disciples, they claimed to be his disciples, and that they loved him. But then he says, if you love me, what's his next line? keep my commandments, right? If you love me, keep my commandments. Okay, what does that mean? It means that if we love him and we're going to rely upon him, and he's going to be our hope, as the psalmist is talking about, if he's going to be our hope, do we walk in the ways of someone else, or do we walk in his ways? And so we resting in him and hoping in the Lord is walking in his ways. It's living his ways. It's doing it his way. It's taking his theory of operation. It's taking his methods and saying, those are what I need. That's what I need. I find that in the Word of God, by the way, but that's what I need as a child of God. I need to be walking in his ways, as verse 166 clearly seems to be saying here. Lord, I have hoped for thy salvation and done thy commandments. When I'm hoping for your deliverance, I'm doing your commandments. I'm trying to do according to your ways. Now, let's go back. Now, let's look back at verse 43. Psalm 119 and verse number 43 here. And let's look at our text. And we're, again, we're talking about here hoping in the Holy Scriptures. Hoping in the Holy Scriptures. Look at what verse 43 says. First part of it, he says, there's kind of a warning here. Verse 43, and take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth. There's a risk here that the psalmist speaks about here. It's a risk he feels. It's a risk he knows is maybe it could be real. And, you know, when you see something like this that says, do not allow this to happen, then it could happen. And how is it that the Lord would would take the word out of his mouth? In a sense. Now, first of all, I think the figure of speech is important for us to understand. When the word is within our mouth, it isn't just saying that we're speaking it, as a lot of people make a huge claim to in the word of faith movement today, that when you speak it, then you speak with authority and such as this. But the word of God being in our mouth is feeding on it. It's eating it. It's chewing it. It's devouring it. It's meditating upon it. We're meditating on the Word of God. The Word of God, taking it in our mouth, is keeping it there close to us, where that we know what it's saying, and we're chewing on it during the day, or even during the month, or even during the year, or portion of our lifetime. We've been chewing upon a portion of Scripture, chewing upon some promise that God has given us in His Word. And as His people, it's vital that we have that. That we're not just people who are big ears and listening to what everybody says except what God says. We're not just people with these big ears listening, well, that sounds pretty good, you know, that sounds like a great promise for me and such as this, you know, and we don't even know if it's in the Word of God. We don't even know. We need to be always, instead of chewing on what everybody else says, we need to be chewing on what God says. We need to be taking in what He has to say. Taking in, there's people out there putting promises on the internet and promises everywhere. They make all these promises and they say, here's what God says, and if God says this, then this, 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 and this. You know, and it's like, wait a minute. When I look at it, I say, God never said that to start with. The whole premise is wrong. You know, that's not what He said. That's something I need to be feeding upon if He said that, but He never said it. So I need to be a person that's, I got the Word of God that I'm chewing on all the time. I have it. And I'm saying that's what I need to be doing. I need as a child of God. We're all frail and we're all lacking these areas. But risk is a reality that the Word of God just doesn't have a place in our mouth. And that's a sad condition for us as believers to be in. We need to pray that the Lord keeps His word in our mouth, that the Lord prevents other things from replacing his word with something else, with the word of man, or with some other theories of operation of life and methods that are not God's methods and God's ways. And so we look at our text verse, and the psalmist just seems to be saying, there's a risk here. Take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth. But notice also, he talks about it being the word of truth. It's the word of truth. And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth. I want the truth. And as God's people, we're a people of truth. We're not a people of just vague theory. We're not a people of cloudiness. We're a people of truth. We're a people that says, I can rest my eternal condition upon what God has said. I can rest my eternal existence upon what the Word of God tells me, and I can be assured of it because of what God has done in imparting and giving me this blessed Word. The gospel that was preached unto me opened the Word of God to me. And it opened to me in such a way as that I've got eyes to see now that I didn't have prior to. I've got spiritual hearing that I didn't have before. And so now the Word of God is meaningful to me. It is real to me. It is God's Word truly. And so it's something that is, it is the Word of truth to me. It is the truth. It is what I need. It is the message that I need all the time. And then he says, in verse 43, he says, take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in thy judgments. Notice, thy judgments here. Now, in Psalm 119, you see that term, that phrase used as a description of the word of God numerous times here. Over and over again, you'll see thy judgments. What are his judgments? Well, his judgments are his conclusions about things. It's God's, we use the term opinion when we're talking. God doesn't just have an opinion. God's right. It's his judgments about things. It's God's own determination and judgment. It is God's own, if you will, his conclusions. Here's what he says about it. You know, we can think about what other people might say and might consider things, but what does he say? What's his conclusion? What's God's judgments concerning things? And that's what we need. We need to be a people of God's judgments. We need to be a people of his conclusions, of his assessments of the situation. I want to know what he thinks about this particular issue, this particular situation, and it's amazing. He thinks about, his opinions are found here in the Word of God. His opinions, his, if you will, and I use that term loosely, but his assessments, his conclusions are found in the Word of God, and we need to find them. Thy judgments, he says, they're so good for me, for I have hoped in thy judgments. My assurances are the conclusions that you have given me. Those are the conclusions that I can rest upon. Those are the ones that I can hope in. And his are far above ours and others. His judgments are so far above everybody else's. Isaiah 55, verse 8 through 11, a passage of scripture that's pretty familiar to us concerning this. Isaiah 55, verse 8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. He says, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, the heavens are way up there, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the so don't think that you're just going to be able to coast through life as a believer without giving heed to the Word of God and without taking consideration what God's Word is saying to us through the Holy Spirit, and just coast through life and just do what feels right as a child of God. Don't think that can happen, because It isn't the plan. It's not God's plan. His ways are so far above our ways, and his thoughts are so far above our thoughts, we need to get into the Word and understand them. We need to see what he's saying. For as the rain cometh down, what's he saying? As the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. I need that kind of refreshment. I need spiritual refreshment as a child of God. I need spiritual nutrition as a child of God. And so he's saying here, so as my word, it goes out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it will prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. I want the truth. I want the word of truth that I might, as a child of God, that we might be able to have the kind of prospering that he's talking about, the spiritual prosperity that we need as the Lord's people. His ways are far above our ways. His judgments are what we need. So where is our hope grounded? And I think this is the thing, is the grounding of our hope. As a child of God, we're gonna understand the more we read, the more we see the Word of God, the more we hear it preached, the more we study the Scriptures and understand what it's saying, the more we know what the promises are. The more we understand the promises of God, the more mature we get, it isn't a matter of enlightening us to certain promises of God's Word. It's a matter of reminding us of them. That there's reminders that we need because we forget so easily. And it's easy for things to get removed as he's warning here. Take heed that take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth. Don't allow that to happen. It can happen. And so as God's people, we need the refreshing, but the Word of God, the truth of the Word of God, living and walking day to day in an active way, in a way that's an experience of what God's promises are to us. And what does that do to me? What kind of a person does that make me? And I think what we see from the 119th Psalm is it makes me a person of hope. It makes me a person of peace and assurance. It makes me a person that is not all distracted by things around me, but rather is a person that's just assured by the Word of God that the Lord God is still on the throne. He's still working and he still has a purpose for my life. And whatever it might be, I can rejoice in him in that purpose. I can rejoice in him and what he's doing about me and what he's doing with me. I can be a child of God who has this peaceful resolve as it pertains to the future and an observable attitude that the Lord would have us to have. Let's go to the Lord in prayer at this time. And it's good to be in God's house and be with you folk, and just a blessing to see each of you today. We thank you, Lord, for your blessings to us. Thank you for the opportunity to open your word. We're so thankful for Jesus Christ and for the wonderful, the glorious, and the such a weighty promise of our salvation through him. And we just rejoice today that we can come together here and that we can acknowledge, Lord, our own weaknesses and sometimes the very mess that we are, and that we can rejoice in you and restore our hope in you, and that you'd give us, Lord, grace and mercy by your Spirit, that we'd take hold of the promises that are ours through the word in the Word of God, and that we live by them, that we walk day by day, Lord, according to your word and the way you lead and the way you direct us. And we'll give you the praise and the honor and the glory for it all. It is in Jesus' blessed name we pray. Amen. You are dismissed.